You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. I'm Mike Haas, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore and Bobby Hebert as well. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Love to hear that voice. We're already much better off than we were last week.
I think we're working.
Yeah. So we have Scott Tolzien on later. I've got Bobby Hebert, quarterback's coach. You're a quarterback. I'll let you guys handle Tyler Shuck. I mean, there's nothing I can get in the way on there. But I want to talk about your defense, and I want to talk about fourth down defense. 2 of 7, Tampa was on fourth down. This is a team, by the way, that in week 8 already learned that you guys are impossible, you know, on short yardage situations, didn't learn the lesson. 2 of 7, in your last 4 games, teams are 3 of 10. Only one has converted a fourth down by itself, 1 for 1. That was Atlanta in week 12. Just overall, the impact that has, because it's not like you get the ball back, you know, after a punt. You get it right there.
Yeah, I think credit to our guys. Brandon does an awesome job with, and the coaching staff does an awesome job just with the game plan portion of this. And then our players, just the execution. I think, it's shown up a lot throughout this season, the short yardage and the goal line stands. It's just a really impressive job. I mean, you know, we did a good job against the run a couple times and put them in the passing situations as a result of that, I think, in many ways. And so, obviously, it had a huge impact on this game.
Now, Coach Moore, how important was it to get off to a fast start? You know, finally, I know you've been saying, probably preaching to the team, look, we got to come out the gate. And I don't think it could have been any better. I mean, it's like old school Who Dat Nation fans. We're thinking like, whoa. That's explosive. Mason Tipton, 54-yard kickoff return. And then we go 6 plays, 45 yards, 2 minutes, 36 seconds. And we're winning. We're not chasing points. We're winning 7-0. Now, that's how you want to start a game, obviously.
Yeah, no question. Obviously, it's something that we're all working for the same goal. We're all trying to start fast. Hasn't happened, unfortunately, for us on too many occasions. Again, I thought complimentary football, kickoff return, setting the tone, tip, awesome return, the blocking in there, excellent setup for us, and then just clean execution on offense, you know, to have an execution like that, to go right down the field in 6 plays, really good job by our guys.
Now, Coach Moore, when you talk about, you know, play calling and you're the head coach and you know, you call the plays, what was the key that we had one of our best rushing efforts of the year? And the quarterback runs do count. They would count against us, our forest, but 32 attempts, 139 yards, 4.3 average. Considering you're going against one of the league's better run defense, they were number 6, only giving up 97 yards. So what do you attribute that to? that we had one of our best rushing efforts. Now, I know the conditions. It's rainy. It's muddy and all that. And I don't know about you, but as a quarterback, I never mind if it was wet. And you played up in the Northwest, so it could be raining. But if you're on grass and it's a dirt field, then you hate to get, like, slime or, like, mud on your hands and you had to throw the next play. And you're trying to say, okay, well, where can I clean my hands? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question. I think, you know, this game, obviously the run game came alive, and that was a really important aspect. Tampa, Todd does a phenomenal job as running that defense. He always makes it hard to run the football against him. Every single year it's always been that way. You know, I think an important aspect of it is, you know, start fast. We were playing in, you know, right there in the thick of it the entire time, which allowed us to create the rush attempts, allowed us to play efficient on first and second down so we can have more, you know, run followed by run. You know, when you create those momentums, we got to have efficient plays on first down, and that allows us to do that. Obviously, really good job physicality up front. I thought our runners ran really, really hard, protected the football in some tough environments, you know, as far as ball security. And then Tyler's runs obviously had a huge impact on this game, getting the ball to the edge on a number of occasions, you know, putting their edge rushers in conflict.
And talk about Baker Mayfield. He was 14 of 30. There were seven PDs, passes defensed, but four of them came from line or linebacker, Carl Granderson, Pete Werner, Cam Jordan, and Brian Brazeen. And I think those PDs are so much, maybe more important than a cornerback or a safety knocking a ball out. Maybe not, but it just feels like you get into his head. He feels like his passing lanes get more narrow. Just talk about the impact of those big guys getting their hands up and knocking, and what you call a block shots, I believe.
Yeah. So block shots. I think when you look at it from an offense perspective, it's really deflating for quarterbacks. You know, you see a throw, you feel great about it, you let it deliver, and then some guy blocks it. You know, our guys, I think Bo and Jay and Brandon and the guys on defense, they just do an excellent job emphasizing it nonstop. And our guys are relentless, you know, through practice. They when they have the opportunity, they do it. And so then it shows up in games. And, you know, big time credit to those guys. I think those are huge impact plays in these games.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at Tyler Shuck. I think what people don't realize, obviously you look at the physical skill set, what he can do with his legs and throwing the football, his pocket presence and all that. But this is encouraging to me going forward. How do you lead a team? And I always looked at this. You look how our team's been structured through the years, that the defense has enjoyed, you know, outstanding leadership from experienced veterans like a DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, even when Honey Badger was here, Tyrann Mathieu. You look like-minded leaders. But I look on the offensive side of the ball, and this is the key to me. Like, sometimes the Saints' best offensive players have not always been their best leaders, and that can be a case in point, and their best offensive leaders have not always been their best players. You know, you might say, well, I'm, you know, I just want to play. I don't want to be a leader of men. And now, it's best if you can have both, like you have with Drew Brees, who would be a perfect example of that. Well, I think you might have that in Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, I think the last couple of weeks have been great examples of his leadership, his resiliency. Again, leadership's an important aspect of this. You always want your best leaders to be your hardest workers, the lead by example guys. You know, his leadership and resiliency for the last 2 weeks, you know, we're down at Miami, rally back, give ourselves at least an opportunity at the end of the game. We're right there at the end. And then this week, again, great start to the game. We have a little resiliency, adversity through that second quarter, and then the second half responded really, really well. And so credit to him staying in there, hanging in there, and battling just like all these guys.
Got to take a break. The Saints victorious over Tampa Bay have Carolina coming into town for a 3:25 start. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore back after this break on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. And coach, we talked at the end of last week just about the weather and playing in the rain in Miami, you know, outside, and also the rain that came to Tampa was rain that was in New Orleans last week. So you said you were able to kind of take advantage of what was a bad situation to kind of get out there one day and, you know, play with a wet ball. It must have had some impact.
Yeah, no question. Obviously, it's been a couple weeks now for whatever reason. Sometimes weather patterns are this way. We had a little rain in Miami. Certainly, New Orleans had a number of rainy days last week, and so it transitioned right into Tampa. And it got, you know, really heavy rain in the second half. So
now, Coach Moore, the fans ask me different things, and you know, they're always going to challenge. Well, why did a coach do this? Why did a coach do that? I said, well, I'm going to ask Coach Moore. And the fans were somewhat puzzled over the decision not to challenge a controversial spot on that third down that forced the team to eventually, when we set off a field goal. Why didn't you throw a red flag? I know you think you were saying you couldn't see the replay if it was truly a bad call. And so what I'm saying, we see it on TV. You need to have a damn coach just looking at the TV thing and just buzz you or something where, you know, I don't know if you trust them. But I was like, well, we got a first down easy. That was a horrendous spot. I know after you watch the film, you go, how can an official miss that? So I know we were trying to go up tempo. So explain that to the fans.
Yeah, so it was a unique sequence. Third and two, ran the football. Felt like, obviously, you know, all indications where we got a first down based off the way they were marking it off. And so we were trying to go fast down the red zone to avoid them from subbing. And, you know, as after we'd already called the play, they kind of just subtly kind of brought it back to a fourth down situation. You know, obviously it's a, you know, looking back on it, it's a potential challenge. Still felt like we had a play there that we could execute and get the first down. You know, obviously we didn't get the, clear and concise camera angle up top, but, you know, something obviously for us just to continue to discuss that process, you know, is it worth just taking a shot at it just to secure it? And so unfortunately we got the penalty on the 4th-and-1 conversion, and that kind of knocked us out of that opportunity.
Now, you know, coach, explain, I don't know. I think me and Deuce, I'm trying to figure out, you know, you want to go to those officials meetings to know all the rules, but explain before the 2-minute warning, we completed a pass inbounds and the clock stops, I think because Tampa Bay, a penalty on them, and obviously you declined it, but you didn't accept the penalty and the clock didn't restart. Explain that rule. I mean, we didn't accept the penalty. What's up with that? Because I'm like saying, how can they not start the clock? He's inbounds.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a goofy exception to the traditional rules. And so under 5 minutes, any penalty stops the clock there, unfortunately. And so, it doesn't go our way, obviously, based off that ruling. And so, it's a goofy one. It's a goofy one. Obviously, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense during a first down and the clock's going to stop because of a penalty decline. But that's the way the rules are applied.
Coach, talk about we spent a lot of time talking about Blake Groupie and kind of the issues he was having. And Kai Kroger struggled through really weeks 5 through 12, where he did have a pretty good game, but then he'd have a 30-yarder, 23-yarder. But the last two games, man, he said his net in the last two have been 44-7, 44, which would put him about fifth in the NFL. Now, because of week 3, his net is always going to be struggling for the season. It's just the way it is. And we were talking to Charlie Smith last week, and he said that Kai had done what he called a cross-field punt, and he really got his hips through it. I don't know what that means, but was there any change in the style or coaching of Kai Kroger, and just really the just talk about how much better and the difference it's made the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think just credit to those guys. If you're developing throughout an NFL season, especially when you're young, you're going to go through so many experiences. And so for Kai, Phil working with them, I think there's definitely been some progress as the season's gone on, and that's what's going to happen with the younger guy. And so certainly he's going to add a couple tools to the toolbox as he gets more and more comfortable. I thought the last 2 weeks he had a really positive impact on these games and those punt situations.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at, again, when you're trying to close out the game, all coaches get challenged. Oh, what about the coach's clock management and what we're doing? It's a question. Why wouldn't you run the ball with 3rd and 11, 1:54 remaining, and we get an incomplete pass? I think we used up maybe 2 or 3 seconds or something. And why wouldn't you run the ball? Because we all know Baker Mayfield and his comebacks, you don't want to leave him too much time, and our defense is outstanding. But why not run the ball and keep the clock running then?
Yeah, that's on me. We definitely should keep the clock running there, try to get us into a situation where if we got a completion, we'll take it. If not, we'll try and keep the clock running, put a lot on the players there. And, at the end of the day, I got to simplify that and allow us to, run the 40 seconds there.
Now, Coach, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this because I count 3rd and 4th down the same. And I don't know if it's just arrogant, lack of respect, or just the way they were going to play Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay. But I'm looking like between 3rd and 4th down, 20 snaps. We were great. We were outstanding. They were 5 of 20, only 25%. I don't know if I've ever witnessed that, considering how bold they were on 4th down, and we just kept stuffing them. And you know what? They should have learned their lesson last game. The Buccaneers, they were 3 of 13 on 3rd down. Well, guess what? The first game in the Dome, they were only 3 of 13 on 3rd down. I want you to elaborate on that. You got to give Brandon Staley a lot of credit. Our 3rd down defense has been kick-ass all season.
Yeah, no question. Commend our guys, from Brandon, the coaching staff, the players, executing a really, really good plan there. Played a lot of hard downs in there. A lot of situational football, too, that showed up in those 3rd and 4th downs because they're around midfield a lot, and that's when teams go for it on 4th down because of the opportunities that it presents. And again, credit to our guys. Execution on multiple 3rd into 4th downs, making those big-time stops, huge impact on this win.
Need to take another break. We will come back. We'll talk a little bit about Carolina and continue our discussion with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, and now moving briefly on to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service, as we're back here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Haas. Bobby Hebert is at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And coach, you get Carolina coming in. Carolina was off yesterday, week 14 bye, and I know they were big fans of your effort, as it puts them at 7-6, Tampa at 7-6. You just played them week 10, and it was a victory. So you're going to get a team that you just played, so very fresh, and also a team that's going to give it their full best because they're battling for the division.
Yeah, Carolina's done a lot of good things this year, and so Dave's done an awesome job building that program. They've battled. They've won some games against some of the best teams in this entire league. And so It's going to be a fun battle at the Dome. It'll be really fun. This will be a great division game against them. It's always back-to-back games. You play these division games twice, and they're always challenging the second time. And so, it'll certainly play out, with some different flavor and some different opportunities there, and it'll be fun to attack it.
Now, Coach Moore, it seems like this has happened for sure probably three games where our defense is playing pretty good against the run. Then all of a sudden, we might have a series. Man, we're getting gashed. I remember like the Bills game in that third quarter, and it was another third quarter series yesterday. But we got the momentum. We go three plays, 47 yards. That's when Chuck has the 34-yard touchdown run. Longest run of the season, and we're up 14-10. Then all of a sudden, we're going on defense, got the momentum. Then we're giving up these chunk runs, or like, significant runs, like plus 11, plus 7, plus 5, plus 13. They go 7 plays, 65 yards. Now we're losing 17-14. It seems like, we've done this like three times. Have you asked Coach Taylor, what's up? Come on, Brandon. It seems like all of a sudden, we'll have a series where it looks like we can't play run defense. And then it obviously affects the whole outcome of our run defense, as they end up averaging 4.6 yards a carry and getting 179 yards. But we've had, two, if not three games, where it might be one series. It's like, man, we don't look like a good run defense, and then we'll play well at other times. What's up with that?
Yeah, that was a really, they had a really good opening drive against us. They got us. And then, in that second half, that second drive of the game for them, in that third quarter, I thought, they made some plays. They obviously had the pass interference, that kind of got them back into it. And then they were able to run the football. And so, obviously an unfortunate sequence for us, got to play better there. They were able to kind of run the football in, from really, plus territory. They just ran it in. And so, we got to take advantage of those opportunities right there, because we were really close. We got the lead. It's 3rd and 10. We're in a great situation. Got to play clean third down football, knock it out of the park, and then, get a chance to double down on them.
That's what my next question is going to be. That 3rd and 11, we get that penalty, the interference call. Sanker, he did hook his arm. But when you look at it, it seems like we've been pretty good. Got off to a slow start with penalties. I think you and I talked about this. You never want 9 penalties or more, 100 yards. Well, because that's like giving up a touchdown. I don't know if you describe a touchdown, 6, 7 points, whatever. But what was up with us having 10 penalties, 82 yards? I guess it does matter the officiating crew. Here's 17 penalties. I want to say last game they only called 9 penalties. I want you to comment on that. And then also, I think it was big that we went in the minus category in the turnover margin, because when you look at Tampa Bay, they've been very opportunistic. You look at that turnover margin, they were plus 9, second best in the NFL. So I think now we weren't on the plus side, but at least we weren't minus 1 or minus 2. I think that was significant. So just comment on the penalty situation and that turnover margin for this game.
Yeah. Games are going to have different flows. This game obviously became a little bit of a higher penalty game, like you said, that those happened. There were 17. The biggest thing we got to be able to control is just so many of the controllable ones, the pre-snap, the offsides, the false starts, the illegal shift, the kicking penalty. There's too many ones that are under our control, I think, and those are the ones that eat at you. You just want to play cleaner football there. And so, it obviously had an impact on this game. And so, so we got to play cleaner there. And the ball, the turnovers, those are always going to have huge impacts. That's the number one indicator of these games so many times. And so, for us, the interception by Alante was just awesome. We had the one interception, not being on the same page there and executing that play. And so, obviously it led to them, but fortunate for our defense, they were able to force them into a punt or a field goal situation there and only give up 3.
So Coach Tyler Shuck sacked 3 times, and the fact that there's not 4 sacks in that game book is crucial, because that's when he scored his 2nd touchdown, and he showed some unique escapability of not one but 2 players, and one of them being Vita Vea, who once he generally gets his mitts on you, he doesn't release. And in fact, when Tyler scored, Vita's kind of sitting in the middle of the field going, what happened? Like, how did he not go down? That was an impressive show of escapability.
Yeah, just really impressive play by Tyler. Phenomenal play, the effort, the finish. It was really special. Obviously we took the lead and we were able to hold on from there. And so big time play by him.
Coach, and you brought up Alante Taylor. I thought a crucial interception when you can get that takeaway. And obviously, you know, the seasoned veterans that they are, we talk about them a lot. DeMario Davis, you know, double D, and you look at Cam Jordan. But to me, I thought who was outstanding yesterday was Carl Granderson and Nathan Shepard. They both had five tackles. Carl had four unassisted tackles, five total, two tackles for loss, and then Shepard, you know, with two quarterback hurries. And it's hard to get Baker Mayfield down. So I want you to just comment on, like, what, like part of the team effort, kind of an unsung hero, unless you truly follow the Saints, but like guys like Carl Granderson and Nathan Shepard.
No question. I think the effort and the way our guys played and pursued the football had such an impact on this game. And it's credit to our guys. You know, we got a lot of young guys that are playing, and that's awesome. We got some veterans who have faced some adversity. You know, these are the type of seasons that can challenge you. And for these guys to play with the effort and the intensity and the focus that they're playing with is really special. Grando made some huge impact plays. Shepard got Chow inside. I thought he did some really good job. He made some plays inside. A number of these guys, you know, you can even go to Kool-Aid, you know, the fourth down, the throw on the sideline, everything. You can let that be a catch and just move on. And he attacks the football and creates an incompletion and turnover on downs. And so, you know, the effort that our guys are playing with is really special. And if they continue to do that and we get better, we're going to be in an excellent position.
And finally, Coach, just the ability to put two together, right? You in all phases with the win at Carolina, with the win at Tampa, and now Carolina again, but stack two, right? That's important.
Yeah, no question. It's big to be able to build off of games. And obviously there's some positivity. You know, our guys have earned that coming out of this game, playing the right way. And we got an excellent division opportunity right here. This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a battle. These guys are playing for everything as well. And so it'll be a fun game.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your time. Back-to-back home games to finish out the home schedule with Carolina and the Jets. Keep it going, and thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We'll take a break, and let's first pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And even though these coaches are selected alphabetically, Scott Tolzien comes up in a pretty good week after Tyler Shough's play yesterday, and that's it. The quarterback's coach, Scott Tolzien, will join us next. Talk with me and Bobby about the game yesterday and more. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas along with Bobby Hebert, and now welcoming in Scott Tolzien, the quarterback's coach. First year in New Orleans, was with Dallas, and, you know, it was just not too long ago playing with the Indianapolis Colts 2016 and 2017. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is not where you thought I was going to begin, but we'll have a little fun just because, I mean, you're only 38. You last played with the Colts. They may bring back Phillip Rivers. He's 44. I mean, you could be in that mix.
No. My best years are behind me. I don't know if I even had any good years, to be honest with you. So, but that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, right? I mean, for him to come back and at least be considering that. Just talk about the growth and what you've seen in Tyler Shuck, really, because the first game with the Rams was tough, and then Carolina, then Atlanta. It's about what you would expect, right? An ebb and flow.
Absolutely. I think obviously he had a good baseline coming in. We knew that in the draft process. He was a pure thrower of the football and a good athlete. But like anyone, I mean, it's still your rookie year in the NFL. So there's a speed of the game change and learning a new system. Heck, you guys just mentioned Phillip. I was with Phillip my rookie year, and I remember how fast the game was for me. And yet when he was playing, it felt like it was the Matrix. So with every game that he plays, things will slow down a little bit more, and he'll just keep adding to his mental library.
Now, Scott, when I look at, like, pocket presence and all that, I think I know a little bit about it. And I look at sacks, and how can you avoid those sacks? And obviously, if you have mobility, you can take off and run. But sometimes just moving within the pocket, keeping your eyes downfield. And look, I was the least sacked quarterback in the whole NFL in 1992. And this is with Dan Marino and everybody. Yeah, so I kind of knew. The Haas is like, oh, no. What does he say? No, I was the least sacked. That's not an opinion. That's what happened. So, Scott, what I'm saying.
I didn't say anything.
I thought you were like moaning. Okay. but I'm looking at like three sacks. And how, when y'all watching film together, like all the quarterbacks, all that, how do you emphasize that sack avoidance? Because I know about outlets. You know, you have to know where always your outlets are and live to fight another day. You might want to push the ball down the field, but there was one time in particular I thought he could have dumped it off to Taysom. Just elaborate on that.
It's a total feel thing. It is an inexact science, and the position's really evolved in that regard. I remember watching games as a kid, and it was like, you know, this new thing where Brett Favre was running around making plays outside of the pocket. It was definitely fun to watch. And now it seems like, you know, that's like a prerequisite of the position, is being able to make plays out of the pocket. But at the same time, I mean, there's no perfect, hey, you know, when you step up, when you step out, when you slide step, stay in the pocket. Really, to me, the best coaching is just being able to show examples of it over and over and just kind of talking through those scenarios, because it's easy when you're sitting there in the film room, you're winding things three times and you're slow-moing things. And as you guys know, that things happen super fast. So these are millisecond decisions on movements. And again, I just go back to the more you play, the more reps you get, the more real these things are, and hopefully the game slows down and they just become more natural.
Now, Coach Tolzien, what about, because obviously fans have asked me, like, oh, what happened on that play? I guess they're not on the same page. That's a generic answer. You know, when you throw an interception, but the anticipation, by the time Chris Olave stops, the ball's already out of Shuck's hand. Now, whether you're running a go route or a back shoulder, what was up with that communication, and why weren't they on the same page?
Yeah, we had a miscommunication there. We just weren't on the same page. But we'd love to have that play back. We're playing 500 with the football there, and that's never a good thing. Thankfully, we were able to regroup at halftime and showed resilience as an offense, as a team, and I thought that was really cool. On the road, in the elements, jerseys were covered in mud, and I mean, that's as good as it gets in football. It brought you back to like a high school game almost, that sort of environment where it just was raining the entire, there was no letdown. And I'm just proud of how everyone responded. That was a fun team win to be a part of.
Coach, we kind of knew this would happen. I've seen a few reports today and certainly, social media that, Tyler Shuck, if we'd had Tyler starting, this would all be different. We fully expected it. So really what I'm looking for is kind of the benefit of what he got at a 7.5 games, didn't come into week 8 in the third quarter of watching and the growth and seeing that same speed of the game that you did with Phillip Rivers. He's the 40th pick. Not every team would have done it that way, but just, I guess, kind of give us an insight of the impact that it had for him that he didn't play in those first 7.5.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And you try to use different examples of guys starting early. Some guys start early, some guys wait. I remember stories of Steve Bono, didn't start until his sixth year and the guy becomes a Pro Bowler. The game's different now. You don't have that much time to develop someone. But the point is just that there are benefits to not playing right away and being able to sit back and watch. And then also, the other thing that people don't know is obviously this element of playing a scout team against a number one defense. So you're actually fabricating real life reps against a starting NFL defense. And I thought that was really valuable for Tyler to see the growth that he made just in those weeks of scout team behind the scenes, whether it was, a timing underneath throw or having the patience to fit a tight window deep down the field or the patience to not fit that tight window and check it down. Those are all disciplines that you got to learn in real time. And he was able to get those reps for, 8 weeks on scout team.
Scott Haas, there's examples every year of what y'all talking about. Just look last year and where he's at now. Drake May didn't start off with the Patriots from the get-go. They were going with Jacoby Brissett. I want to say it was like the 6th or 7th game he eventually started. Now he finished strong with the Patriots. Look where the Patriots are at now with Drake May. So that's why everybody just wants to throw, that's the guy we invested in, just throw him out there. You want the guy who's the future, you want him to have success because playing quarterback is so much about confidence. And Scott, the question I have for you is you're the quarterback coach. How do you keep everyone engaged? Because all of a sudden, you talk about scout team, pretend like, okay, this is a game situation, and you coaching up Spencer Rattler, and now Tyler Shuck. But just talk about that meeting room and how you keep everyone engaged and involved.
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm very fortunate, and this isn't just, coaches speak, but I'm very fortunate for the group that I have. Those guys are all professionals in their approach and how they work, how they study the game, how they support one another. When I took this job, you never know with a new group how it's going to play out. And these guys have been awesome. I mean, they've made me want to be a better coach. They've challenged me, making sure I'm on my details. We have a lot of fun in the room, and that's a tribute to them and how they go about their business. So that's really the majority of it. As far as me giving them confidence, hopefully it's just in our preparation. I think, the highest confidence you have as a player is when you feel the most prepared. So that's my number one objective, is to help them prepare. And through that, that's where the confidence comes.
Now, Scott, what about different cat here? Taysom Hill, how do you deal with Taysom? I mean, he's like a jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife. What meeting room is he in? So talk about your relationship. The fans would be intrigued. How you deal with Taysom Hill and, quarterback pointers or game plan? What's your interaction with Taysom?
For sure. So, I was no different than you guys or anyone that's listening to, just saw the Taysom Hill highlights from afar for years. And one week you saw him running a touchdown. The next week you saw him catching a touchdown. The week after that you saw him throwing a touchdown. You're like, man, you know, that this guy can do it all. And now being with him firsthand, you kind of see the method behind the special player that he is. Just again, I just got done talking about preparation, but you better be on your details coaching him because he wants to know the fine-tuned details in the run game, the pass game, and everything in between. And when I first got here, he was just rehabbing, and I saw how he attacked that on a day-to-day basis. He's a professional in the truest sense of the word, and he's great for our quarterback room too. Obviously, the experience end, and he's played plenty of games as a starting quarterback in this league, so he's able to draw on experiences from that and guide those guys. And I think maybe last I'd mention that they're able to see how serious he takes his craft, but how much fun he has doing it. And I think that's such a powerful thing for a young quarterback. I know I felt that with the guys that I played with, kind of eased the anxieties of playing when you see these guys that are super prepared, but they're also still playing in treatment like a kid's game. And he's been a huge asset for our QB room.
So, Coach, my final question, we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. I'm just wondering, because you've yourself as the quarterback's coach, Nussmeier, OC, he's former quarterback, head coach Kellen, former quarterback, Scott Linehan, quarterback. Do you break up the responsibilities? This might sound like I'm teasing. I'm not. But do you break up responsibilities? I mean, you kind of have all this great insight, but sometimes you get, four guys chirping in your ear. How do you base – or who decides who does what with the quarterback?
Totally a valid question. And really, the easy answer is just that we see the game through the same lens. There's way more similarities in how we see things than differences. And I go to Nuss's office every morning to talk about footworks on select routes and stuff like that. And I trust Nuss. I've been around Nuss before and know that he knows a heck of a lot about football. And certain, I mean, Kellen and I were peers once as players, and now we're peers as coaches. And I just have the utmost respect for the detail that they coach it with. And I'm there to support that first and foremost. So, conflict's not the worst thing either. If you disagree on something, those are all good things to bring to the table when you talk through them. That's one of the fun things about our job. I mean, we're no different than the two guys sitting on the bar stools listening and arguing over the college football playoff. I mean, we'll sit there and have discussions about footworks or reads, and that's all part of the fun of the job.
Well, the fun of the job is when you win, and that was a big win in Tampa. Congratulations, and as we've talked about with Kellen Moore, stack two, and keep it going.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Quarterbacks coach Scott Tolzien in his first year with New Orleans and played with Indy back in 16 and 17, and it is official. Bobby, you're too old, but they are going to give Phillip Rivers a tryout tomorrow to be the new Indianapolis Colts coach or quarterback, so I appreciate your time, my friend.
Well, Hoss, you know why he has a chance? I'm telling you. You know who's the guy they need to thank is Joe Flacco. What Joe Flacco has done, even more than Aaron Rodgers. Look how old Joe Flacco and Phillip Rivers kind of in the pocket, not going to run all around. That's why Phillip Rivers has a chance. Look at Joe Flacco. He practiced 2 or 3 days. Look at the game he had, a couple of games he had with the Bengals. Yeah. That's why Phillip Rivers has a chance.
There you go. All right, Bobby. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Hoss.
When we come back, we're going to go back to the Silver Slipper Casino, talk with Mike Dettelier about Monday Night Football, the NFC South, and all that's going on around the NFL. Back after this on the Saints Radio Network. This is the Visit Pensacola's Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss, and now joined by Mike Dettelier as we go back to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Monday Night Football, Philadelphia 8-4, Chargers 8-4, yet the game means two different things to both of them. Philly's in pretty good shape as far as the NFC East is concerned, but for the Chargers at 8-4, they've got New England and Denver ahead of them at 11-2. Specifically Denver. So they're in this wild card chase with a bunch of other teams with really, really good records. And so these two teams have been beat up on. Also beat up, but beat up on to be 8-4. That's a big one for the Chargers.
Yeah, and one thing with the Chargers, their offensive line is El Stinko. When you lose your starting tackles, two real good ones, in Slater and out, I mean, you've had to kind of piecemeal something together. But one thing they can do, man, they can play defense. Their front seven is really good. Even on the back end, they really play well. We'll see how efficient Justin Herbert is. He's coming off the injury. But, Mike, what's crazy is if you watch the Eagles' offensive line, they're not the same as they were a year ago, the last couple of years. That was the strength of their football club. And then they add Saquon. He's had one 100-yard game this year. One. They're basically stacking the line and saying, I dare Jalen Hurts to throw it downfield. I dare him to do it. And so it's a crazy run for the Eagles with a lot of the same pieces back on offense. And a good part of the pieces that you had on defense, they aren't the same team. Does this team look anything close to what they did a year ago?
No.
Nothing close. And the Chargers, it's they
new offensive
people.
Coordinator. We took their coordinator and their running games coach. We took you know, some coaches.
And, you know, you lost Mekhi Becton, but he wasn't the kingpin up front for them. He was, you know, and then he goes to the Chargers. So it's been a crazy run for both teams, a lot of injuries. That's why you can't use injuries as an excuse. Other teams have it, too.
Yeah.
Look what the 49ers are doing. And what they have lost, that has been, for me, has been Kyle Shanahan's best coaching job ever in the NFL. When you lose all that talent, especially on the defensive side of football, Purdy's out for a while, your receivers, man, you got to buy a program to figure out who's playing wide receiver for them, and they continue to win. So impressive.
Yeah.
And then yesterday what we saw with Bears-Packers, that was a really, really good football game between those two teams. And for a losing effort, the Bears did damn good.
Got to ask you just a kind of an aside, because we've been talking about referees and a lot of games yesterday. Did you happen to watch the ACC final, Duke and Virginia, on Saturday night?
Yep, saw it.
So how about what they're doing with the ACC, which allows you to see inside Central Command of the – when there was a review, you could see the Central Command office and hear them talking to the referee on the field. It changed my entire view of what I thought the review system were, because the referee basically says nothing. The review, it's not a democracy. The review team is telling him why we're doing this. But it was the most transparent thing I've ever seen, and that is the next iteration for the NFL.
Yeah, the ACC has done it all year on nationally televised games. They have shown you inside that room on what they're looking at. They really have. And so I give them a lot of credit for that, giving you some insights on what the kind of group is looking at, what that guy is looking at.
They're giving you the why. They're giving you the why.
And a why to that. And I do think, Mike, that is something other conferences are going to have to also do.
Right, I agree. So as we look now at the NFC South, Carolina was off. They're 7-6, just like Tampa. They haven't even played each other yet. They've not played each other yet. They played twice in these final weeks. And, man, just from what you've seen, I don't know. Carolina's kind of hard to figure, and I just feel like Tampa's, man, they spent a lot of their gunpowder early in the year.
When Baker Mayfield, I was telling this to Bob, when Baker Mayfield got the ball with a minute 50, I was like, oh, no, here we go again. Because I've seen it. I've seen it throughout the year, especially early. He was making those plays. They've had some injuries with all this, no question about it, but they don't look like a good team. They cannot get a pass rush. That was the thing, unless they sending extra. That's why they bringing in Jason Pierre-Paul, who hasn't played, I think 2022 was his last year. They bringing him in at 36 years old to try to help out, because not only once but twice Hassan Reddick kind of pulled up lame out on the field. They cannot get a pass rush unless they're sending extra people. And their passing game doesn't look the same. It goes to show, you can say next man up, Mike Evans' difference if he's out on that field. Mike Evans is that big of a difference maker at wide receiver. Abuka had a couple of shots yesterday and had one while he was wide open. Oof. And didn't come up with the catch. Godwin's still coming back from the injury. They may look like a different team when they get Tristan Wirfs back, who's been kind of beat up all year, and Mike Evans late, but they're not playing with a lot of confidence. And it was just to watch Baker Mayfield, where the Saints didn't get a sack, but they got constant pressure, which got him sort of hippity-hopping, almost like a bunny rabbit, throughout the game. He was never comfortable throwing the football from the pocket with his feet set.
Right.
And I think Brandon Staley's done really a great job, especially over the last 3 weeks. Man, he has done a really good job piecing what he has together on defense with a real young secondary.
Hey, and as I talked about with Coach Moore, you get PDs from Carl Granderson, Pete Werner, Cam Jordan, and Brian Brzee. I mean, Baker hates that kind of stuff. He doesn't like it. So
he does not like pressure around him.
Nope.
And you saw it yesterday, him hippity-hopping around. Yep. But again, with Mike Evans in the lineup, Mike, that's a different story.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks
Thank
for coming along in the booth. Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Saints Radio Network and the Saints Coaches Show. See you next week.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.